Woods, my one man. By season, 20 to be exact. Growing up watching them paint murals, using this building as his first studio, using LA as his canvas, restoring crowns back to where they belong, under royal banners, purple and gold, the color of royalty, our one man LA King.
After Kobe.
Kobe. Never meaningless could never mean less. That's what he means at this moment. All season has been his goodbye. Him to us, us to him, to the whole world.
We don't want problems.
We don't want trick.
We don't want trick.
We don't want dollars.
We don't want trick.
Levitate, 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 levitate.
Still got magic, but he made it magical. From Compton to Crenshaw, Jack to Genie. We were all witnesses to all things that was him. I mean, we shared with him the world.
Kobe, inside the three-point arc. Kobe Bryant has hit a shot at the buzzer!
Whoa! Soon enough, he became our identity. If he wasn't born and raised here, or never lived here,
everybody. This is the Shuki Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio. This is by far the most difficult show that I will ever have to do so far in my broadcasting career. And I wish I could say I hope everybody is having a great day, and I hope everybody is sincerely having a great day, but today really is not a great day. I mean, today is not a great day, especially with the news that broke yesterday, almost 24 hours now since the passing in a tragic death of NBA legend and now newly minted Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant, as it was announced that Kobe Bryant will be inducted into the class of 2020 later this year. So congratulations. Congratulations to Kobe Bryant. And it's absolutely, it doesn't feel real. Nothing about this feels real at all. I woke up this morning, grateful, and I tweeted it out this morning on my Twitter, and I said, you know, I woke up this morning feeling grateful to God that I was able to wake up and see another day. And then an overwhelming feeling of sadness just overcame me. And the reality reminded me that Kobe Bryant is no longer here with us. And life happens so suddenly without warning. And it's absolutely terrible, the feeling that we have all felt since yesterday afternoon, just shortly before 3 o'clock. I found out the news thanks to a good friend of mine, a dear friend of mine from back in the day, and he actually DM'd me as I was making my way yesterday afternoon to the WMFO meeting, in which he DM'd me saying Kobe Bryant is dead. And immediately, my first thought was, excuse me? I'm like, number one, no, don't ever joke about someone passing away. That's not funny. But I immediately dismissed it. But then something told me to go on Twitter, and this was just a little bit after 2:45 yesterday afternoon, and I was walking through Harvard Square, the station, and something told me go on Twitter, and I went on Twitter and I noticed that TMZ had published it. And I was like, no, absolutely no way. No way. No, no way. No way in how this can be real. And then I noticed a tweet from ABC in Los Angeles confirming the helicopter crash that took place in Calabasas, which is about 45 minutes outside of Los Angeles, in which Kobe Bryant and his daughter, 13-year-old Gigi, the head coach of the Orange County College baseball team, as well as five other victims, all perished in the helicopter crash yesterday. And I want to lead up the show by saying the following. As I sit here today, reflecting on just the enormity of his passing and his impact on my life, it just doesn't feel as if this is like it doesn't feel real. None of this feels real. But unfortunately, in my heartfelt condolences goes out to the Bryant family, especially his parents. I can't even begin to imagine what his wife must be feeling right now. I can't even begin to imagine how his other children may be feeling right now. And the fact that he has an infant who will never know, who will never get to know Kobe, that child will never get to know its father. And my heartfelt condolences goes out to all of the other victims who also perished in the helicopter crash yesterday. And I want to say something pure that is purely from the heart. And I want to say start off by saying the following. Oftentimes in life, we know and we hear that tomorrow is never promised. We often hear that tomorrow is never guaranteed. And you never know what that moment is going to be like to lose something or someone that you love so suddenly, without warning, at just a snap of a finger, it's all gone. And the one thing that I keep thinking about as I say this is whatever issues that you may have with someone, big or small, it means absolutely nothing It means absolutely nothing now. And just, and I think when it really hit me was as I was making my way over here to Somerville, and I had to break the news to another member of the WMFO family yesterday, and the shock on his face when I told him, I was like, this really is not a joke at all. Just, and even right now, and I'm sure that a lot of people, millions of people, are feeling the same way that I'm feeling. That it, the realness just, it really still hasn't sunk in. And there were tweets that were sent out yesterday, last night, and there was one that really that caught my attention. And this was a tweet that was sent out by Shaquille O'Neal. And one of the things that he said, I wanna pull it out and read it to you shortly. But there was just so much that was said and that's been poured out on social media. And I wanna, hopefully I did in fact, here it is. This is the tweet that was sent out by Shaq. This was sent out yesterday at 4:46 p.m. Eastern Time. They said, quote, "There's no words to express the pain that I'm going through with this tragedy of losing my niece Gigi and my brother Kobe Bryant. I love you and you will be missed. My condolences goes out to the Bryant family and the families of the other passengers on board. I'm sick right now." And I have to say that, and that one thing that I found that was so poignant in terms of Shaq sending out this tweet was that, remember, Shaq and Kobe were, and we're gonna at some point later in the show, we're here with you until 2 o'clock today, and we have a special guest. Before I get back to Shaq in just a moment, we have a special guest coming on the show today. Hip hop icon Kool Man Doe will be joining the show live at 1:30 p.m. Eastern to talk about Kobe and his legacy and everything that he's meant to the community at large. And going back to what I was saying in terms of Shaq, they both played 8 seasons together, and they had their moments, especially winning 3 straight NBA titles together. And in the way that they have gotten even closer after, I mean, especially in recent years, it just doesn't feel as if that, and I guess you could say that I'm still in a state of shock right now. When you consider just the timing of it all, that Saturday night, I'm at home and I'm talking to my brother at home, watching the Lakers and Sixers on ABC on the Saturday night primetime game, and LeBron surpasses Kobe for third place all time on the NBA scoring list. And there was a tweet that he sent out, and this was the tweet that just threw me off. I mean, threw me through the loop. And this was the last tweet that he ever sent. This was sent at 10:39 Saturday night. This is while the game was still in progress. He said, "Continuing to move the game forward, King James. At King James, that's LeBron James Twitter handle. Much respect, my brother. #33644. That was the point total in which that he eclipsed, and that he scored and he eclipsed. And to be very frank with you, This is a sports strategy that we have, I don't think we have ever really seen before, that we have ever really experienced. Now, we in terms of the sudden death of an icon, and not just only an NBA icon, but a sports icon, period. I really can't remember a single death that has actually impacted myself and the millions and millions of people all over the way that it has with Kobe Bryant's sudden death yesterday morning. And it's truly unreal, because there was so much that was discussed yesterday, especially last night, in terms of why Kobe Bryant decided to travel by helicopter. And this was something that he had talked about this was an interview that was done a little while back, in which Kobe actually gave an explanation why. And this is the explanation that Kobe gave as to why he began traveling by helicopter.
Even on weekends. But then traffic started getting really, really bad, right? And I was sitting in traffic, and I wound up missing like a school play because mm-hmm. I was sitting in traffic. And this thing just kept mounting. And I had to figure out a way where I could still train and focus on the craft, but still not compromise family time. Mm. And so that's when I looked into helicopters and be able to get down and back in 15 minutes. And that's when it started. And so my routine was always the same. Weights early in the morning, kids to school, fly down, practice like crazy, do my extra work, media, everything I needed to do, fly back, get back in carpool line, pick the kids up. And my wife was like, listen, I can pick them up. I'm like, no. I want to do that because mm-hmm. like, you know, you have road trips and times where you don't see your kids, man, right. You know? So like every chance I get to see them and spend time with them, even if it's 20 minutes in the car, like I want that, right? So that would be my routine all
so
the time.
So no nap though, because you had no. No nap, because you didn't have time for that.
If I was tired, I'd take a nap.
Yeah. Like,
that was the explanation that Kobe Bryant gave. It doesn't say like when exactly, but this was an interview that was done, I'm presuming for a podcast, between him and Alex Rodriguez and one other gentleman. This was posted up on Complex on Twitter. But nonetheless, as I was saying before, that I don't think 1 hour would really do justice to get everything out that I really want to get everything out in terms of just the raw feeling and emotion in regards to Kobe Bryant and the sudden death. And the one thing I will say is this: the impact in which that he had on this earth transcended basketball. It transcended basketball. I grew up watching Kobe Bryant as a young kid. I'll never, ever forget the first time I ever started watching Kobe play. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And this is when the Lakers began their return back to NBA dominance. And it was the Kobe and Shaq show in Los Angeles. And I remember watching, and I remember I'm 8, 9 years old watching him play. And this is like the 2000 or 2001 NBA finals. You know, Kobe's got the afro, you know, like he's like offensively just imposing his will on the opponents, you know, like in the Indiana Pacers in 2000, the Philadelphia 76ers in 2001. And I that was what I saw early on, like when I was younger. Now I had, and as well as so millions of people did over the years, we continue to watch him grow and evolve, and the Mamba mentality, and it wasn't just limited to basketball. It was a way of life, a way of how you attack your pursuit of your craft, the way that you attack the pursuit of your passion, you know, pursuing what you truly want to do with your life. And that's what it really came down to, what was it all about. And for Kobe, even we could sit here and we can talk about the indelible moments that none of us will ever truly forget. But I don't want to start off talking about that for a big reason. And the reason is because his impact on me wasn't as of just pertaining to basketball. And yes, we know for damn sure that Kobe is truly one of the very, very greatest to ever play. No question, no doubt about that. And that I also mentioned this morning on Twitter that he really was, and in the part, the fact that I even have to say was, is what's tearing my heart apart right now. Like, I'm not sorry for being raw and being honest right now, being on the air. But I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for being raw and honest with you, but the part that really made me respect Kobe even more than beyond just basketball was just how he conducted himself as a father, as a father, but especially as a black father. And as a father, how he loved his kids and how much he loved his wife. And the simple fact that in that very last moment, he wanted to go and be there for his daughter. And as he was making his way to the Mamba Academy for a tournament, and the people that were waiting there, and and the people who were waiting, they were just waiting there, and they found out the news about the helicopter crash. Just flat out, it's heartbreaking. There's just really no other way to put it. And there were certain aspects of it. The fact that he was with his daughter and with his child in the very last moments of his life speaks volumes as to the type of father that he wanted to be, and that he really focused on cultivating life after basketball, because he was very clear. He was very clear in which that he said he wanted to not have people only remember him for just the basketball, but rather the impact and the legacy he wanted to leave behind beyond just basketball. And that in itself is the part that I think he did absolutely remarkably well. And even he had moments in which that he was absolutely fantastic. And he devoted his time so seriously into his craft, into anything that and everything that he wanted to do away from basketball. And even so, he had a commercial that personified Kobe the best way that only Kobe could. And there was a commercial in which that he did with Jalen Rose a little while back, in which I'm gonna let this play out so that you could hear and just listen to his response. Listen to his response to the waiter's question. Here we go.
Oh no. Hey Cole, how you doing? How retirement treating you?
It's great, man. It's great. Just a little writing, a little investing.
Nice. So I don't know if you saw the thing on Twitter about your statue.
You know, I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, I figured that. Me either.
A drink, Mr. Bryant?
Yeah, I'll have a vodka martini.
How many olives would you like?
81.
Really?
Nah, man, I'm just playing. Just two. Joke for him. He gets it.
The 81 martini joke. That was in reference to when he scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors on January 22nd, 2006. The anniversary had just passed 5 days ago. And I wish there were more ways to really, and I'm gonna do my absolute best during the final 33 minutes, which includes the interview that we have coming up with the hip hop icon Kool Man Dough, coming up in a matter of minutes at 1:30 on right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So like before he comes on, I'm going to do the PSA and the station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We'll be joined by hip-hop icon Kool Man Dough in just moments. So we're just awaiting for him to call into the studio. So, but in the meanwhile, we're going to continue talking about Kobe Bryant. And the one thing I want to touch on, and that is, in fact... give me one moment, all right? Khan himself, Mr. Kool Man Dough. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing on this Monday?
Cool Mo D. It's all right. Cool.
Thank you for joining the show on such short notice. I want to first ask you on your thoughts on Kobe Bryant. Like, where were you when you first found out the news yesterday? And your thoughts and your feelings based on the fact that he's no longer here with us today?
Without getting esoteric in some total, to me, one of the most frustrating aspects of life is death, an untimely death, unexplainable, uncomprehendable. I really don't get it on spiritual levels. It, for me, takes everything out of what people's perceived belief systems are, religiously speaking, and because it makes no sense, there's no rhyme or reason. But I heard it while I was driving home and went to a supermarket, and I saw people reacting and faces. I knew something horrible happened, but I didn't know what they were talking about. And then 10 minutes later, when I got home, I saw the news, so that was how I found out. And then the overwhelming inundating calls and people kept talking, and on a certain level, I get very frustrated about that kind of stuff because it becomes somewhat superficial. A lot of people, you know, feel what they feel, and I think we're conditioned to react and respond the way we do in many ways, and it's very frustrating to hear some of the stuff that people say. I've even seen this generation posting pictures, and every picture you took with them, and thanks. I don't think those are moments, in my opinion, that's a shared photo op. Hey, look, I took a picture with that. It doesn't make sense to me, so I have mixed emotions besides the anger or sorrow that I feel for him and his family.
And like for me, I was talking about this at the top of the hour, that I found out via a DM on Instagram that one of my old buddies had messaged me saying succinctly that Kobe Bryant had passed away, and I was just like, I'm sorry, what? And didn't really believe it at first, and even now, just close to 24 hours since the news first broke, there's a lot of different layers that I want to get into as well, but one of the things that I want to ask you is like, what are some of the levels of impact that Kobe has left behind in this world that you think that you feel that is going to be one of the most meaningful legacies that he leaves behind that others will be able to benefit from?
For anybody who's really studying, if they understood his mentality and his approach to life, they could be inspired by him dramatically if you're a thinker. Just looking at his basketball skills or skill set or whatever, completely, I wouldn't say undermines, but doesn't do any real justice or value to what he was contributing. His way of thinking and the stories that I've heard from other people I've met him and talked about, what he said, you know, even Stephen A. Smith talking about when he was being touted on his first show as potentially being the next Oprah, and Kobe said, no, focus on Harpo. Owning your product and owning your position as opposed to just being the on-air in front of the camera talent. And his thought process is part of the, in my opinion, the thing that's probably one of his greatest attributes and most underestimated or underrated about him, because most people just look at the accolades. But that's the world we live in anyway. We look at the Grammys and the awards, but we very rarely see what's behind the man. And I think what's behind him, for people who knew him personally, and what he's talking about from his mindset, I think that's the most important aspect of him that's left behind. And for those who knew and those who can focus on it that way will understand the measure of him was way more about his mentality than his ability, physical ability, I should say.
Speaking of the Grammys, and learning some of the things that you've accomplished, that you were one of the first to receive a Grammy, and that you were part of the MC Trinity, in which that you were paired up with Grandmaster Caz and Melly Mel. And the one thing I want to ask you, as it all ties into the tribute that took place last night, what are some of your thoughts on the Kobe tribute that took place during the Grammys last night at Staples Center, in the very building that he essentially made it what it ultimately became?
Unfortunately, I didn't boycott, but I didn't watch the Grammys based on getting the news about him a couple of hours before I was going to watch the show. So I kind of tuned out and tapped out of everything. I needed to have my own personal way of dealing with it, so I didn't want to watch the Rams. I will watch it tonight. I'm sure I taped it, or DVR'd it, I should say, so I'll check it out later tonight, so I don't have an answer in terms of the regards of what they did for the tribute or whatever. But again, like I said, his skill set and his ability is what's more heralded right now than his mentality, and I think that's the part that's underrated, if anything. I don't think we really grasp the level of intelligence that he brought to the equation, and I think that's more poignant and more powerful than anything in his basketball skill set.
We're talking, for those that just joined the show, live on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. We're joined by hip hop icon Kool Man Doe, and one thing that I want to ask you, and you hit on it perfectly, is in terms of his mentality, and I think that I feel like that is so overlooked by so many people in terms of understanding what drove him and what made him tick, quote unquote. And one of the things that I've gotten to learn about Kobe is his involvement in business and investing. And I feel that especially in the African American community specifically, that we really don't take heed onto the importance of making smart and wise investments. So I want to get your opinion on what gem would you say that Kobe left the community behind, and that we all can benefit from in terms of making wise and smart investments that's gonna benefit the generation to come.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone. Well, first of all, I don't have a very high regard for business practices in America. I do think that he's been very wise in that sense. But the problem with America is most poor people will never get a chance to apply those skill sets in general, because the way the deck is stacked, it's kind of set up for you to have money in order to make money. Secondarily, with the odds stacked against us for the most part, we're too busy in survival mode than actual celebration mode to be able to do things that some of the people have done. So when you get a certain status and a certain level of leverage financially, then those practices are much more practical to do. But most of us are too busy just trying to pay the rent to be preoccupied with trying to own things on the business level and doing things on that level. But I do think that mindset is very beneficial for anybody that can get at least the first base, as they say, if you use a baseball analogy, to get the first base, to be able to get the groundwork set up for you to start looking at it that way, because it is a vicious cycle in life, the way we set up in America, or just in the world, where you have a moment in the sun, but you have to maximize it when you can, and then you add those business practices and they make way more sense at the time.
And one thing that that I'll ask in terms of the social impact that he's had, and I talked about it before you before you came on the air, and I said I don't want to talk about what he's accomplished on the basketball court, because that doesn't really tell the full story as to why his sudden death and untimely death has impacted so many people the way that it has. And the one thing I want to ask you is, when it comes to when it comes to being able to create a lasting legacy and an impactful legacy, what would you say is one of the big keys of being able to ensure that, especially as it pertains to the youth, that we are able to...
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. You said, what was the lasting impact? And then you broke up after that. I'm sorry.
No, no worries. What I'm asking is, in terms of, like, what would you say is one of the key pieces of being able to impact, like, the youth in a way that Kobe was able to impact the youth in terms of his ability to share his wisdom and his knowledge, especially when we've seen the videos of him and his daughter sitting together at basketball games and so forth. Like, what would you say is the most important piece in being able to and be willing to share that wisdom that we have been given?
Can you hear me?
No, I wasn't able to hear you at all.
I'm sorry. The phone is dying out or something's going on. I didn't hear the last question you said. What was the most impactful?
What is the most important nugget or piece of advice in terms of being able to have the impact socially, especially in terms of like working with the youth as the way that Kobe did, and especially with his daughters?
Well, to me, I think again, the one thing that I glean from him more than anything is what you're doing after your quote unquote peak level. Because a lot of things align in your athletic career, whether it's popularity, celebrity, skill set, championships, and all that stuff. What are you doing afterwards? Because it's way more like after your moment in the sun, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think how he handled his quote-unquote second tier or second career is very, very fundamentally instrumental in terms of having a successful life. Because what you do after the court, after the ball stops bouncing, or whatever career you're in, after you're in that peak space, because I think we have a paradigm that sets up racism, sexism, ageism, and classism. And with regard to the ageism point, you know more when you're older, and as an elder, you have much more wisdom and much more to contribute to the success to society than you do in your peak moment. So I think using his celebrity and his stature and his status after the fact was one of the things that I looked at most. Him being a father, taking his daughter to games and doing that kind of stuff or whatever. If you bring the racial component into the equation, you get a very, very different picture other than the stereotypical picture they're trying to constantly promote about African-American men.
Absolutely.
Where he... absolutely went against the grain on so many levels, and that's what I said again, still ties into his intelligence and his integrity. I think that those things are something that we could focus on more than just how many championships he's had.
We're drawing live on the air on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, with the icon in the hip-hop industry, Kool Moe Dee, and one question that one question I want to ask you before I let you go is, for someone who as accomplished as you are and everything that you have accomplished and as well as you've been blessed with, in the light of such a unspeakable tragedy, what is the number one lesson that and a nugget of wisdom that you would like to impart on the audience as we all try to make sense of what had taken place yesterday?
First of all, definitely, spiritually speaking, life and death, every day you're living is another day you're dying. No matter what we do, all of us are going to die at some point, and tomorrow's never promised. So try to maximize your time here as best you can. He was doing, in my opinion, a great job, just from bird's eye views, from the outside of looking in. Everything that I saw or was able to see represented his energy in such a positive light that it was inspiration in its own. And I think for people who take it for granted, I understand youth is, as they say, there's sayings about wasting youth and time or whatever, but I think that he maximized his very well. And like I said, his secondary career, his after career, was, if not better or more potent, but it was definitely something that you could look at and take heed from and see that there's way more to life than what you're doing, quote unquote, on a basketball court or whatever your career is or whatever the future of your career is. What he represented after the fact was what's, for me, I'll remember him more for what he did. And I think that's what he was doing after the career. I think I'll remember more of that. And I think that's quite frankly, something that we could all kind of learn from in a bigger picture sense.
Thank you so much for being able to join the show, especially on such short notice. It's definitely much appreciated. I definitely hope to have you back on again the show soon.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Kool Moe Dee, hip hop icon, who just joined the Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And I definitely want to further touch on something that he said that was poignant in all of this, and that was his intelligence and his ability to break away from the stereotype, especially being a father of an African American father in the way that they're normally portrayed in this country, in terms of actually being there for his kids and being able to support them, especially in their endeavors. And that's part of the reason why I feel that I have had nothing but the utmost respect for Kobe, not just so much the basketball player, because again, like, we could dedicate an entire 2-3 hour show talking about Kobe's accomplishment. That's an easy thing to do, especially when we talk about the man posthumously and so forth. But what I really want to focus on today is the legacy that he leaves behind. That itself is what's really the most important factor in all of this, and in that's the question that we really have to ask ourselves at the end of the day: what type of legacy are we leaving behind for those that are able to benefit after us? And it's one of those questions that I think we really have to get really, really honest with ourselves about. And I really feel now, especially in the wake of the news that broke yesterday, and that is, we have only but a short amount of time here. We don't know when our time is gonna come. And the fact of the matter is, don't be afraid to tell the very person or people in your life how you strongly feel about them. And we should all, I mean, and I do mean all of us, take the time to hug the very people that you love and that you care about. Hug them. Kiss them. Take it seriously. And that oftentimes we really tend to forget what's truly important in this world. And that oftentimes we really tend to let petty matters and petty things get in the way of what's truly important. And that's something that we don't really let go until, or even for truly sincerely forgive until it's too late. And it's a shame. And it really is a shame. And there are moments last night in the NBA that took place that really exemplified just how much Kobe meant, not only on the court, but his impact within basketball. And this is an example in which that really caught my attention. There was a gesture that Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks, he's an all-star starter for the Eastern Conference for the NBA All-Star Game next month in Chicago, in which he wore the number 8, in which that was Kobe Bryant's first number to start the game for the Atlanta Hawks. And I want you to listen in to this as it was broadcasted yesterday afternoon evening on the Atlanta Hawks broadcast regional sports network.
Bruno Fernando, Kevin Herter, and Trey Young. And as Trey heels off the warm-up in honor of his dearly departed friend, Kobe Bryant, he will start the game wearing uniform number 8.
Wow. Wow. That's a great representation for Kobe Bryant. That's paying homage. Way to go, Trey.
That was yesterday, in which that he paid tribute to his idol Kobe Bryant to start the game. Now there were several instances in the games yesterday, in which that teams had started the game with taking 24-second violations to start the game, won by both teams, to pay homage and respect to Kobe Bryant. And there was a moment last night in New York, and in which that they did a magnificent job lighting up the garden at MSG with the colors, with the Lakers, in honor of Kobe Bryant. And this is what it sounded like last night at the garden at MSG in New York with the Knicks play.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we ask that you please rise. The New York Knicks join the NBA family in mourning the devastating loss of beloved NBA and global icon Kobe Bryant, who passed away earlier today at the age of 41 in a tragic helicopter crash that also took the life of his daughter Gianna. An 18-time All-Star, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, and a 5-time NBA champion, Kobe had a multitude of iconic moments here at Madison Square Garden, including setting a then Madison Square Garden record of 61 points in 2009. And tonight, we remember the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant and join the Los Angeles Lakers, the Buss family, and the entire basketball world in mourning his passing. Please join us in a moment of silence in honor of number 24, Kobe Bryant.
That was last night at Madison Square Garden as the Knicks pay tribute to Kobe Bryant and his daughter, who perished in a helicopter crash yesterday afternoon, yesterday morning, rather, which the news was broken yesterday afternoon. We have about maybe 5 minutes left, and I want to end the show on this note. And I want to first start off by saying my heartfelt condolences goes out to the Bryant family, the other victims' families, which also included the head coach at Orange County. That coach of the baseball team there, as well, and that my heartfelt thoughts and prayers goes out to John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, and their friends and family, and as well as Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant. And also, my thoughts and condolences goes out to the families of Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, Christina Mulzer, and the pilot who had yet to been identified as of right now. And it looks like it was the pilot was in fact identified. Looks like the name of the pilot was Ara Zobayan. So my thoughts and prayers goes out to the families of the victims and all of their loved ones. From myself, yours truly, Shukri Writes, on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Boston area. My heartfelt condolences goes out to their families, to their friends, to the loved ones. And I want to say that if you are going to do something or accomplish anything in life, do it wholeheartedly and pour everything you've got into it. And leave nothing unsaid or leave nothing absolutely left untouched or unturned. And I wish that I'm going to play this clip quickly of this little bit of time that we have left. And if time permits, hopefully we're able to get to it. But if not, I totally understand. But this video, is basically going to be based on the letter that Kobe Bryant wrote to the fans, in which that he talked about, his love of basketball. And I'm going to end the show on this very note. This is Kobe Bryant, his letter, Dear Basketball. This is from 2017. You've been listening to the Shukri Writes Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Here's the letter, Dear Basketball.
A 1-point game.
Dear Basketball. From the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body, my spirit and soul. As a 6-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle, I gave you my heart, because it came with so much more.